We've got another horse locked in for the Everest, Brad Davidson.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Yeah, looking forward to the big race in October, of course. But yeah, yesterday the news was Enticing Star, the latest to be locked in for the Everest, of course, in Chris Wallace's lot there, transferred to the Wallace stable recently, and the second of Bob Peters' runners in the race, of course, Arcadia Queen also getting a slot. So this horse has won the 8 from 10 starts overall, 500,000 in prize money, ran second in the Winterbottom Stakes back in December last year, and put it together a nice string of wins prior to that. So obviously not tested on the big stage over here yet, but a very exciting horse that has got a nice turn of foot, and looking forward to seeing how she shapes up in the big race.
So that really leaves only one spot that's open, isn't it? Because Godolphin's there, they'll use a Godolphin horse. Coolmore's there, they'll use a Coolmore horse. The ATC slot's been taken by Caulfield, so the Scalacci Stakes winner goes into there. So it really only leaves James Harron's spot left.
Yeah, I think he's in a pretty good position, personally. I've always said in years gone by, I think that a lot of slot owners are a bit too quick to probably lock in horses. I mean, we haven't even had a race in the spring yet. And as you said, there's really only probably one slot to be decided. So we do know that, you know, some horses don't shape up this, and sure, if, you know, some go by the wayside with injuries or anything like that, we hope not, but that there can be some late changes. But it's interesting. Everyone's gone, I guess a couple of months ago, we hardly had anyone locked in, and then all of a sudden now, pretty much everyone's locked in before the spring. So I think James Harron's in a great spot now to be able to just sit back and pick and choose which horse can go to that next level. And look, there could be several horses that go to that next level, and be fascinating to see how it all plays out. Whether, you know, Coolmore, if they get one that steps up, whether a horse like 10 Sovereigns comes over, or right, yes, steps up, or even if they look outside their own, or and of course Godolphin, no doubt they'll fill the spot with one of their runners for sure.
Mm. Is the Concord Stakes shaping up as a good match race between a couple of good horses?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it should be a good race right throughout, but confirmation this week that Sunlight's heading towards that Concord Stakes in Sydney in early September. Of course, Zoo Style's already been booked in for it, and I'm sure a host of others probably will as well in the lead-up to the Everest and other spring features. But Sunlight, we know she's in the Everest field. Tremendous record, $4.4 million in prize money, 10 wins from 16 starts, and she's heading towards that. So we'll see how... You know, there'll be no hiding for Zoo Style, that's for sure. He's got a tremendous record in Queensland, but it'd be interesting to see if he can take that next step in the Sydney spring.
What do you make of Spiritual Pursuit, off for a spell?
Yeah, off for a spell. That was the news from Jason Coyle this week. Just obviously, it was a complete forgive there at Rosehill last week. I think it was galloped on and pulled up lame.
Oh, okay.
So looked really disappointing on paper at the odds on price there, but genuine excuses, and believe Jason Coyle's confirmed this week that horse will be off to the paddock for a spell.
This is just one from our listeners. This is Nash from Nashville. A horse, if they win the Scalacci Stakes, then has to travel up on the Hume, a 7-day backup for the Everest. Is that too big a task?
Yeah. I don't think so at all. I think those things personally are overplayed a lot in racing. I use the example these days of the old school methods of, you know, racing in the autumn and racing only in the spring. They seem to be sort of being proven wrong to some degree these days as well. Every horse is different, and you see a lot of horses these days, they race through the winter, they go to the spring, and they can be the best performers in the spring. To have this, you know, this old school 6-month break anymore, you can race and have a look at Jungle Edge. He's been racing on and off for, he hasn't had a spell basically for 2 years, but has a little break in the paddock each day and each before every race, and then brought back up. So I think these days, you know, horses can back up. I think a backup's I mark as a positive, not a negative personally. If a horse is backing up, normally it says to me it's come through the run well. If it's on a wet track, they're only probably even that bit fitter, and I don't see any issue with it. You know, there's been horses in the past that have backed up in a couple of days. In the olden days, they used to run a couple of times a day. So, I just think we get carried away sometimes with worrying about backups and, you know, worrying about horses having to have 4 or 5 month spells. I'm not questioning trainers, but I think the proof's in the pudding in recent years of horses that have been able to buck that trend, and I think we're learning a lot more about that, and and the new style method.
And, mate, just quickly, we've got a good set of trials coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, Rosehill Gardens, 8:15 a.m. trial one. Make sure you catch that. It's a tremendous heat. So, obviously, spring's in the air already. Elise, Avilius, Best of Days, Dubious, Gran Rosso, Hartnell, Kiyomichi, the Golden Slipper winner, Merrill, and Reheron, who I'm really looking forward to seeing return there at the trials. A horse that showed plenty last year. He's won the 2 from 3 overall. Only defeat was to Chestar at Rosehill, where well off the speed and clocked some amazing sectionals to be beaten there, unfortunately. But, yeah, look, a very promising horse. But right throughout there's a really good list of trials, and particularly that heat one at 8:15 a.m. Looking forward to seeing how a few of those step out.
Thanks, Brad.